Meseches Gittin. Gittin, all about divorce contracts. Important to remember, although we've seen this already, so it's not really necessary to remind everyone, but when it comes to getting divorced in Jewish law, so there's a mitzvah to do so, but it's only a mitzvah once it's appropriate. If it's inappropriate, so then it's probably a mitzvah to not do so, which we've seen, I think, in Ksuvos. We saw that also in maybe it was in Yevamos, or even Nedarim, that you shouldn't really get divorced unless there's a good pretense. But it is a mitzvah if there's a pretense. So we're not really talking about that just yet. If I remember correctly, a lot of the beginning of Gittin, at least, is assuming that part, right? It's assuming that, and now we're trying to go through the process of giving a get. What does the get look like? How do witnesses have to witness it? What do they have to see? So that's a lot of the beginning, right? It's almost taken as a given. There's a justification for doing this. Says the Mishnah, Beis Amin Aleph in Gittin, Hamevi get mi Medina Sayam. If someone brings a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael, Sarach Shiomer b'fanei nichtav u'b'fanei nechtam. So let's say the husband is in wherever, Seattle, and the wife is in Eretz Yisrael. So then he has to send the get to her. But in order to make sure that it's a real thing, so the witnesses have to use a specific script. They have to say that it was in front of us, it was written, and in front of us, it was signed.
This is not the witnesses to the get. It's the
Oh yeah, no, the shliach, right? The people that are being sent have to have seen the process of the get take place. The people that are written on the get is a different thing. It's just that in front of us it was written, in front of us it was signed. Not to say that these are the people that signed. I'll talk about them later. So that's according to the Tanakhama. I would tell you this phrase, somewhat humorous, but all my friends get a kick out of it. This phrase, b'fanei nechtam, is a mouthful. And when you're learning the sugya, that's like the phrase that you always have to go back to. And instead of just saying the whole phrase, there was one Rebbe at Hakotel that used to just say bin. That's what he would say, beznun, b'fanei nechtam. You have to say bin. And if you've ever heard him say shir like that, it sounds like a little humorous because he kept saying the word bin.
Does he mean it humorously?
No, he meant it just as like a shortcut to talk about it. But yeah, no, all my friends meant it humorously. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Af Hamevi min harekem umin hacheger. Not only does there need to be the script from the witnesses or from the messengers, if it's from Medina Sayam, but also if you're bringing a get from these places called Rechem and Cheger, are these places?
Yeah, right here's Rechem and here's...
Oh, even inside of Eretz Yisrael, I guess that makes sense.
Barely on the border.
On the border. Rabbi Eliezer on there. Afilu Mikfar Ludim, even from the villages of Ludim, Lelud, and that which is close to Lud, which is part of Eretz Yisrael, but you still have to say, B'fanei nechtav, B'fanei nechtam. Even though they're in Eretz Yisrael, they're considered like outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Well, he says, B'fanei nechtam is just outside the border. Lud
right.
Inside the border.
Right. So anything
like
in between.
Kansas City,
them.
Missouri, and Kansas City,
yeah.
Kansas are on different sides of the border.
Right, I hear that. Here it's obviously different because we're talking about in or outside of Eretz Yisrael, but yeah. The Chacham say, no, you don't have to say unless you're bringing it from outside of Eretz Yisrael proper.
Umolech, or you're taking it from Eretz Yisrael to outside Eretz Yisrael.
Right, or from Eretz Yisrael to outside. So basically it sounds like there has to be more legitimate testimony more legitimizing of the get if it's going over the border of Eretz Yisrael. We don't know how far away it is, but Ad Kan all we know is that it's outside Eretz Yisrael versus inside Eretz Yisrael. V'hamevi minzina l'minzina b'minzina tayam. And if somebody brings the get within the same country, to one country, to another country, in outside of Eretz Yisrael, tzarech shiyom b'fanei Yisrael b'fanei nachtam. You also have to say the same phrase. Meaning it's not just about Eretz Yisrael. It's also about any country which you're traversing long distances to relocate.
Although if you're traversing long distances from one city in Eretz Yisrael to another city
right.
in Eretz
you would
Yisrael,
not require it. Right. We'll talk about why that would be, but yeah. Afil me hegemonia le hegemonia. Even from one... Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Afil me hegemonia le hegemonia, which I assume is like a smaller part, like a province to another province. I don't know how you translate hegemonia.
Jurisdiction.
All right. So I don't know if that would be zip code or something.
He says they're ruled by each
right.
one's
different
ruled
people.
By a different ruler.
Right, different authorities, yes. Rav Yehuda Omer, I mean, Mirekem la Mizrach, from the place called Rekem to the east. That's anywhere. Rekem Kimizrach, and Rekem is considered like the east, meaning that even if you would bring the get from that place, you'd still have to say, B'fana Nefta, B'fana Nefta. Me Ashkelon Ladarom, from Ashkelon to the south, and Ashkelon Kidarom, and Ashkelon is considered like the south. Me Akko Latafon, anywhere from Akko and to the north is considered outside Israel. Akko Katzafon, and Akko is considered like the north, meaning all those places, even though they're inside Eretz Yisrael, those are the general boundaries of what's considered far away. Where's the place that they're going to? I assume it's like Yerushalayim, but anywhere in the sort of the mainland of Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to the borders. Okay. Hold on. Yeah. Yeah, you notice it doesn't say anything about the west, because in the west there's water. That's what Rashi points out. I believe there's a famous mistake in Rashi here that clearly indicates that Rashi doesn't know what Eretz Yisrael looks like. But I think it might be on the next stuff. Rabbi Meir Omer, Akko Eretz Yisrael Gittin. Rabbi Meir says, yes, I agree with all that stuff, except for the fact that Akko is considered like Eretz Yisrael for the sake of Gittin. Yeah, and therefore you would not have to say right. It is interesting to think about how of all the places that this discussion happens in terms of genre or theme, the place where we define what Eretz Yisrael is the halachos of Gittin, which is relevant, but not because of what you think. Meaning, if I were to say, we have to know what Eretz Yisrael is for the sake of Gittin, you'd probably say, oh, so that we know where the get was written. No. Just because the messengers come from specific places and we have to know where they came from. Or we have to legitimize the get more based on where they come from. So yeah, it is interesting.
The underlying theme here presumably is if it was in Eretz Yisrael, you would hear, you would know.
Right, so we haven't gotten to the reason, but the point is that if you live in Eretz Yisrael, oh, you'd hear so-and-so got divorced, and you hear, so you don't really need as much as a proof. I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
First Rashi tells us,
yeah.
Which the Mishnah doesn't tell us at all, but it's going to tell us later on in the Gemara.
Not Bavel.
Bavel.
Right. But
is
for the
like
same,
Eretz Yisrael.
Right, for the same type of reason. It's not really about Eretz Yisrael. It's about word getting around. People knowing that really happens. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's the next Amud. I'm just sort of conflating everything in my mind that I've ever learned in Gittin. But I believe this is where people talk about a lot. If a lot is part of Eretz Yisrael also,
well,
because if it's to the south
Ashkelon.
Right. So I don't know. This is clearly not talking about the land of Eretz Yisrael. So we're talking about the place for the get. But
you have issues too for Shemitah. You have
yes, for sure. For a lot of things. There's a question of whether you duchen every day in a lot, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Trumas and maestros.
People in a lot, though, don't observe the second day Yontif, do they?
No. Typically not, but it's a good question. Hamevi get betoch Eretz Yisrael, someone who brings a get within Eretz Yisrael. So eino tarach shiomar b'fanei nefta. That sounds like just the implication of what we've been saying all along. Ve'im yesh alav orim. If, however, there are claimants that say that it's a forgery, this is presumably true about any get which is written, which is brought. But if there are people that are bringing charges against it that it's a fake get, then you just substantiate the signatures, meaning you don't go to the messengers anymore, you go to the signatures. Because the messengers, at least when the get is in Eretz Yisrael, don't have any responsibility to guarantee the get or to vouch for its authenticity.
They don't have to have been there when the get was written.
Right. They don't have to say it, which means they don't have to have been there.
So far, one witness, if it comes from afar, one witness is good enough.
Well, we haven't said that. The word mefanai typically means two people in front of us.
Except it says tarif sheyomar. It doesn't say
right,
sheyomar.
Okay. Good.
It's only the shaliach that means to say
right,
it.
Right. Yeah.
And hopefully mean it. It says he has to say it. It doesn't say it has to be true.
Okay. Let's assume that he's telling the truth, yeah. Says the Gemara, my time away is that the Chachamim say that the people, the witnesses have to say, b'fanai nefa, b'fanai acham. Rava Amar, and this is, I believe I introduced this, the first time we ever heard the name Rava and Rava. This is going to be a machlokas, Rava and Rava. Which one's which? Rava is with a hey, and Rava is with an aleph. So Rava Amar, l'fi she'ein b'kin l'shma. Because people outside of Eretz Yisrael are not very well versed in how to write a get. And therefore, we need to make sure that there's extra substantiation that this get was written properly. And that it was given over properly. That the husband really wanted to divorce her. And that she was willing to take it. I guess that's the second part.
He basically needs to... This get has to be written specifically for these people.
Right. Lishma means for the people that it's written for. Yeah. Rava Amar Levisha Ein Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimel. Because there are no witnesses that can substantiate it otherwise.
It's going to be hard to go back.
We can't go all the way outside of Eretz Yisrael. You can't go all the way to Seattle and bring them back. Nowadays we probably could, But at least back then, it's very hard to do so, and therefore we need greater substantiation from whoever brings it, as opposed to the people that are signed on the get.
That's hard to understand, though, that argument.
Why?
Because our Mishnah told us that even if it's these two places, Kfar Ludim and Ludim, which are very close to each other, you have to say it.
Well, those
you would think it would be easy to go back and find the original witnesses. It's not like going to Seattle.
Right. I guess we have to draw a line somewhere, just like Ashkelon to, Eilat, which isn't so far, or Akko to Tveria wouldn't be so far, but it's still considered outside to inside. So we got to draw the line somewhere. I mean, now, you could have said
more than 20 distance. Mil away.
Right. It doesn't say a distance. I don't know why that's the case.
I mean,
I remember. But,
in the case of the, from one place in Chutz La'aretz to another, the commentary said because sometimes the government didn't allow travel.
Right. So, okay. Maybe. Maya Binaya, what's the difference between Rabba and Rava? Rava says because people don't write Lishma, and Rava said because there aren't the witnesses to ask about them. Ika bin Ahu, a couple of different nafkaminas. Dais Yuhu Beitre, if two messengers of the husband bring the get, in order to divorce the woman. According to Rabba, we have to be worried that it's about Lishma. So even if there are two people, we're still worried about what's Lishma. But according to Rava, who thinks the whole point is because it's hard to get witnesses to come and to substantiate the get, this get is brought by two witnesses. And therefore, maybe there would not be a necessity to say because they function as Edom themselves.
Assuming that they're kosher
edim. Right. Inami, alternatively, medina limedina be'eretz Yisrael. Maybe within different provinces in Eretz Yisrael there would be an issue. According to Rabba, that it's all about Lishma, The people in Eretz Yisrael have the ability or have the greater trust to do the get lishma, as opposed to Rava, where it's really all about the ability to bring witnesses in. Even though it's in Eretz Yisrael, maybe Medina Medina is difficult to bring witnesses at that level of
amount. We never said.
Yeah, we never said that. That's true. We said Medina Medina outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, it is interesting that Rava's reason, at least according to the Gemara here, Rava's reason seems to be against the Mishnah, if that's how we're understanding it. Yeah. A third Navka, meaning Inami, but also Medina bin Medina Sayam, was in the same Medina, in the Medina Sayam, so that was actually Machlokas for Shimon Gamliel and Tanakama, right? Whether or not it was in different, within the same province, but in the same country, I don't know how to say this, but one jurisdiction to another. According to Rabbah, the reason is because not lishma. People are decided outside of Eretz Yisrael have to be, tested if they did a lishma or substantiated, whereas in Eretz Yisrael it wouldn't. But according to Rabbah is all about whether you can get the witnesses, and if you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, so you can get the witnesses.
So they're close, right? Yeah.
Right. The proximity. Now, again, we don't know how big these countries are or whatever, but yeah. Asks the Gemara, Ularaba to Amar Lefi She'ein Bikin Lishma, and according to Rabba, who says anyone outside of Eretz Yisrael doesn't know how to write a get properly, or has to be suspicious that maybe they didn't write it for the right people. So Liba Yitrei. So why don't we require them to be two messengers? Midi Dehava Kol Edus Eduyos Sheba Torah. Meaning, if the whole concern is that we don't have proper testimony that this get was written properly, so then lishma, so then we should require testimony for that, right? If there's something we're worried about and we need testimony for it, so every testimony in the Torah requires two. So why here do we not require two? Except one doesn't. Yeah. So the Gemara says eid ech neman b'yisurin. So any yeshiva guy would think it's sacrilegious to read that line and just keep going. Because Eid Echanam B'Yisurin is a huge sugya, which we've talked about before. But we talked about one witness in the context of Sota. Sure, we talked about that. But here we're saying that Eid Echanam B'Yisurin, when it comes to a halachic matter, it doesn't mean that they're doing an isser, but when it comes to a halachic matter as opposed to a civil matter or damages or monetary issues, so when it comes to a halachic issue, we can trust one aid for the sake of substantiating a claim.
It seems strange, though, because here you're not talking about an isser at all. I mean, the isser you're talking about is if you accept the get and it really wasn't done properly.
Right. So then they're going to sleep and they're going to commit adultery.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
You know, but so really the...
So that's what the Gemara is going to ask. Well, are we really talking about an Isser here? I mean, we're talking about, Isser v'hetzer, I guess. We're talking about halacha. But is that really what that concept is referring to? Eid Echanam b'Yisurin. Amor da'amrinan, why don't we say Amor da'amrinan Eid Echanam b'Yisurin? We don't know if the piece of fat that we're looking at from the animal is chelev, which is aser, or is it just fattiness, which is mutter, different kinds of fat. So that's when we say eidach anamim b'yisurin. So lo yischazik yisur, because the iser has not yet been established. Right? This is not something where it's aser, it's aser, it's aser, and now we're trying to get it not aser. Right, this is something we don't know what it is. Now, Eid Echad is going to sway the balance towards one side. About Hacha, but in our case, this is not a case of figuring out what the suffix is. The Ischazik Yisur the Eishes Ish. This woman is usher to anybody else. Meaning, to take single witness testimony in order to sway the balance, okay. It's right now, it could be this or this. So we'll use one witness to weigh down one side of the argument. But this woman is usher. The scale is already on the usher side. Now we're going to use one witness to uproot that isser. So that's a whole different story. So the Gemara says, "Have a davar shiba erva." So this is the conclusion of the question, I believe. Have a davar shiba erva. This is really an isser erva. Ve'ein davar shiba erva pachus mishnayim. So yes, you know, eight echanem and bisurim. One witness is believed by yisurim, but now when it's an erva isser, when we're talking about isur hikares, people could, you know, get a very, very consequential punishment for doing such an act, like sleeping with someone you're not married to.
Well, sleeping with someone when you're married to someone else.
When you're married with somebody else, and they're married to somebody else, fine. So that you need two witnesses for. And this is a davar erva, because this could lead to that. And therefore, there's a separate rule, a separate competing rule that we're now saying overrules the first rule. That davar erva requires two, and that pushes away the isurim require one rule. So how is it that we're now saying that according to, again, this is only according to Rabba, that we don't think it might not be lishma, we need to substantiate the get itself. So that's why we require it. According to Rabba, the only issue is that we won't in the future be able to get witnesses, so we got to substantiate it right now. That's not a problem with the get. That's a problem with, you know, proving it later on. So Rov Bikin Hain says to Gemara, the reason is because we really do believe that most people are upstanding and they'll write their get in lishma, and really you don't need to get edus at all. Vafilo Rebbe Meir dechayish lemiutza, and even according to Rebbe Meir, who's worried about the minority, meaning the minority of cases where there is a concern that it's not lishma. Stam safrei d'dayne, the general sofrim that would write a get. Migmar gemiri, they must have learned it somehow. Right, back then, it wasn't common for people to be able to write. The fact that they could write and write a get meant that they were trained. They had some kind of expertise, and therefore, along with that expertise comes a certain level of word trustworthiness.
Oddity here. So you would think today, it's so much easier to have fill in the blank forms. Here, let me get a form out of the drawer and
today very different.
Or let's just print it off the computer without doing it lishma. In those days, everything was handwritten. What scribe would just say, "I'm going to make a pile of gittin with blanks"? And,
right.
I mean,
that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. They wouldn't do that. And therefore,
we're saying, according to Rabbi Steinsaltz, most sofrim know you're not supposed to do this. But even if they didn't know they weren't supposed to do it, why would they do it?
Well, Hakamar later on is going to talk about, you know, what's the case where it wasn't lishma, or, you know, a guy named Chaim wants to develop.
Right, there are different people,
Deborah,
and then they get lost.
And then he changes his mind, now you find another Chaim who wants to divorce.
Right, that kind of thing. So
that,
it happens, but you're right. The question is, how much of a minority is a considerable minority?
Right.
How significant is that small percentage that we're worried about it? V'rabbanan hu d'itzrich, and really it's the Rabbanan who require that the get is written lishma. Or that we need witnesses that it's written lishma,
right.
And Rabbanan, by the way, by Rabbanan we mean Rabba's understanding of the Rabbanan. V'hacha, in our case, mishum iguna akil be'Rabbanan, another loaded phrase, that in order to prevent a woman from being an aguna, which I think literally translates to a chained woman. So in order to prevent that situation, the Rabbanim were lenient about their own requirement, meaning this is not something you really need testimony for, because technically we can rely on the fact that Rov Bekiyan Hay, that most people are not only experts, but trustworthy in their expertise, and they would never write a get like that. That would be a forgery or not lishma. But we're still going to require testimony, but that testimony is going to be a lenient kind of testimony. We're only going to require one of them because we don't want people to get stuck. If you can only get one witness or whatever, and you can't substantiate the get, so then we don't want people to just not be able to get married anymore.
So
yeah,
the
loaded statement.
Then the question becomes, why is it that in the case of when you have one witness that the woman's husband died, We say, yeah, we'll accept that. We'll accept that, but the woman has to know that, you know, she has to be very careful and check it out, because if it turns out that her husband comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about that in Yudamos or Nedarim,
right.
Yeah.
But here we're not saying that. Here we're not saying that she has any special responsibility to check it out. We're saying we're going to accept one witness and accept it as a divorce.
Yeah.
And then if she remarries and now.
Well, it's on the husband, I guess. I don't know.
Now the husband comes back.
Yeah.
And says, no, I never sent that.
Right.
Yet.
Right. Yeah.
To me,
okay, Shkaya, we'll continue this conversation tomorrow.
To me, the chances that, you know, a filter right